Our text is from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 17th verse. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the text. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we do ask your presence and blessing with us at this time. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight for our soul's good and to the glory of you and your Son, our Savior Jesus. Amen. Friends, I don't know how it is at your house, but at our house, each morning we pretty well turn on the radio. And there is Halloran Hilton Hill on 89.7 on the FM dial. And he, at the beginning of each hour, except the ninth hour, he says, "Welcome to this brand new day. This day has never been lived before." He says, "Let there be in your heart gratitude. Think of three things for which you are grateful. Gratitude makes all the difference in the world." And that is certainly a very good thought. Oh, that that would be our thought daily and under any circumstance. As our pastor would say at the end of each service from Psalm 118, verse 24. Oh, that that could be our attitude indeed every day, and as our text would say, in every circumstance. This is the day the Lord has made, and make it first person singular. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That, of course, is a very fitting attitude for us to have every day. But how also appropriate it is for us to pause. We regularly do every Wednesday. But on this Thanksgiving Eve, a national holiday, oh, to make this evening and tomorrow a special holy day, as we are filled with a mood and attitude of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, ah yes, in good days, as it may well be for most of us here at this time, even though there are difficulties around in the world, yet in every circumstance, may that be our desire. And by the grace of God, our determination, we will be thankful. That, of course, is Paul's injunction in this text, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. God indeed desires thanksgiving. That, of course, is a truth that we know, but so many don't. There would be those in the world that would even scoff at the idea. You mean, you think the great God of all creation, way up out there, that he cares what we little people do? As insignificant in his sight as an ant is in our sight? By all means. By all means, there is indeed a God. Creation cries out. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalm 19. How anybody could deny, how anybody could deny that there is a God. But then to further deny that there is a God who knows and cares, well, that maybe does take a little something extra like the Holy Spirit As we go to the Spirit-given Word, and there we are reminded again and again of this God of grace and God of love, how He desires our thanks. A personal God. He cares for us. He delights in us, and He desires that we thank Him. Yes, He does. That's what His Word so clearly says. We heard from the Old Testament lesson, again from the Epistle lesson, oh, do give thanks to the Lord. Remember to bless His name. Come before Him regularly with prayer and thanksgiving. I challenge you to read Deuteronomy chapter 10, where he goes into a little more detail. That when you go to this good land and you prosper, don't you say, it is by my own strength, the strength of my arm, my hands have done this. Rather, remember to bless the Lord. And, of course, in Deuteronomy, he gives quite an edict. You better do this. He desires it indeed, and he says, if you don't, there could even be death. That's Deuteronomy chapter 10. But, of course, we not only know he desires it, he delights in it. We see that in the life, the words, the letters of the Apostle Paul, his whole mood and attitude, and also the desire of the Lord Jesus. After that great temporal bodily blessing of being cleansed from leprosy, 10 lepers cleansed. And we can't imagine, but only one went to the trouble, took the time, put forth the effort to come and give thanks to the Lord. And that he desires it? Can you not hear that in the words of the Lord Jesus? Almost a plaintive plea. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? He couldn't help but marvel. There have not returned to give glory to God. But this one, this lowly one, this stranger, this Samaritan. So suffice it to say, we are among those people that know God desires our thanks and our praise. The Psalms are full of it, of course. But also, let's remember, God deserves our thanks and praise. Some again would scoff at that idea. Maybe you know someone like that. Doesn't want to believe there's a God at all. Or, as that little saying goes, if God is God, he is not good. And if God is good, he is not God. And we to that thought say, perish that thought. God is God and God is good. Sometimes appearances, circumstances to the contrary, notwithstanding. In a letter of appeal this week, I got quite a litany of the trials and troubles of Western civilization as to whether it can really survive. And of course, Western civilization includes the United States of America. And here are some of the problems that were cited. Debt, doubts about male-female roles, killing of the unborn, family deterioration, rampant pornography, rabid sexual revolution, sodomy in high places, war on Christianity, university liberalism run amok, and a dozen other infirmities. Pretty bad, pretty sad. Some might want to say, indeed, God, where are you permitting all of these terrible things to take place? And again, we forget that finally God did not desire it. It is man's sin. Because of the sin of man, our first parents, Adam and Eve, that thorns and thistles would grow, and by the sweat of the brow we eat bread, and all manner of other infirmities, sicknesses, and ailments, and of course, finally, death. But that is the fault of man. God, of course, after man's sin, was there with that beautiful word of promise, which he in the fullness of time fulfilled. The promise of the one who would do battle against Satan and win, crushing his head, though his heel would be hurt. He would be wounded. He would suffer death himself, but in triumph. We know that as he arose again. And so we say we know this God who deserves our praise, our thanksgiving. We're people that have the God of Scripture, the God who has revealed himself to us, and as our fathers, our church fathers have put down so beautifully in the words of the apostles in the Nicene Creed. We know this God, a God with a Father heart, a God the Father Almighty, the Maker, Creator, Protector, Provider, Owner of heaven and earth. We know this God who in the fullness of time looked out on this earth that had fallen into sin, mankind and all of its transgression. In the fullness of time, as we'll celebrate again so soon, he gave his son Jesus. You know how he lived that perfect life where all other humans, and he was fully, truly human as well as fully, truly God, all humans had fallen short, but he kept God's will, the Ten Commandments, totally and perfectly and completely. And then he died that innocent death and shed his holy precious blood. But again, with that cry of "it is finished," we know in the light of Easter, the third day, Resurrection Day, was really a cry of triumph. It is finished. All was accomplished, so that our sins could be forgiven. And we know this as through the written word, the word with the water in baptism, the proclaimed word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we know that our sins are forgiven. We know that we are children of God through faith in Jesus. We know this God of grace and God of mercy, and that he deserves, under any circumstance, under every circumstance, he deserves our thanks and our praise. But that, of course, is where it is so difficult. Some of you have read The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom, and they were there in concentration camp. And in their room, their dormitory room, so to speak. And lo and behold, they had lice, fleas. And they read Scripture. And they said, in everything give thanks. Because the German captors knew about that, and they stayed away. They didn't come in as regularly, and gave them time for more prayer and Bible study, a Bible that had been secreted in everything, even for the fleas and the lice, give thanks. Last evening, there was a special feature story on Tyler Summit. Maybe some of you saw it. And in it was a reference to his mother, Pat Summit, and the thought that with her early onset Alzheimer's, that maybe that was also perhaps part of God's plan. And I thought, marvelous, beautiful, great to hear that from her, that because of her Alzheimer's, that disease, that terrible condition has been publicized and millions of dollars have been given to a foundation whereby hopefully that disease might one day be eradicated or greatly controlled. Yes, in all things, in all circumstances, give thanks. Difficult at times indeed, maybe some of us have had those difficult or low days, but oh, that we would be thus reminded and encouraged. We're people that know the God of the Apostles' Creed, the God of Scripture. And so we do. I do trust. We'll be people every day rejoicing, living with an attitude of gratitude, responding to what we hear in this worship with our own lives of worship. As Paul would say, 1 Corinthians 10:31, that in everything, in eating and drinking, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. There's a book entitled Different Like Me. Same kind of different as me, about a black man, Denver Moore. And he was a Christian. And they wanted him to come and give a testimony. And he was a little reluctant. What can we say about you? He was asked. Well, just tell them that I am a nobody that's trying to tell everybody about somebody, with a capital S, who can save anybody. That's all you need to tell them. As we go forth from this place in these hours of worship on Wednesday evening, Thanksgiving Eve, and Sundays, having been fed with word and sacrament, we go forth and we're reminded we're going out into the mission field to show forth our thanks. I always like that little phrase as well. Let your thanksgiving certainly further be demonstrated in thanks living. And so indeed, with life and lips, may there be a hearty yea and amen. And amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.